say. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 through 23. I do want to say what a blessing it is to have our guests with us this morning. Amen. It is a privilege to us to have you with us. Amen. I highly recommend, you're getting the short end of the stick today. I highly recommend you come again and hear Bishop Brigham teach, preach. Amen. Skilled with the Word of God. And today you've got, if he's a soldier, you've got a toy soldier today. Amen. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 through 23 says this. This is Moses praying. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I desire for you, God, to show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. This is not in my notes, but I do feel like just mentioning this before we're seated here this morning, that we were singing about God's goodness, and in this passage we read God showing Moses his goodness. We're singing about God's grace, and Paul wrote, his grace is sufficient for all of our sins. His grace is sufficient. Amen. And the Lord showed Moses his grace. And even his mercy, we read and we sing about, we talk about, we sing about it this morning. I need your mercy. And God again shows to Moses his mercy. But Moses had a desire for something more than just these things. These things are good. And these things are necessary for us to live for God. We need the mercy of God every day that we live. We need God's grace, his gracious ways, and we need God's goodness to follow us every day of our life, as the psalmist wrote. But there's something yet more that I feel like God wants to share with somebody in this place today, and I really do. This has been my prayer this entire weekend, that God would show to us a special glimpse of his glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with my current walk with the Lord. I want more. I want more of God's glory. Amen. Why don't you lay down your Bibles? Let's talk to the Lord right now. Let's ask him in this sanctuary to reveal his glory in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for your sweet presence that's here today. Thankful, God, for what we feel in this house. Thankful, God, for your mercy. Thankful, God, for your grace. I'm thankful, Lord, for your goodness today. Lord, my prayer, God, is that you would show me your glory. Show this congregation, Lord, something that we have not yet seen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank him one more time before you're seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you today. I love you today. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach to you for just a few moments. I'm not sure how long I'll be before you this morning, but I do want to preach what I feel in my spirit, amen, as the Lord, as it drew closer to this service. I prayed that the Lord would show us his glory, amen, but I also prayed another thing, and they are connected, and I hope before I finish this little message this morning that you will see the connection that I see between this first prayer of asking the Lord to show his glory and this second prayer, that God would fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a connection there, child of God. Amen. God's glory that was revealed in the Old Testament through his tabernacle, through his church, amen, of the Old Testament, amen, is an example, is a pattern to us, amen, to show us that there is something more than what might appear on the outside. Hallelujah. In the world, there are, especially in sports contexts and business and any competitive field, there's a saying that people use, and that's what I'm going to use as my title today. It's going for the glory. Going for the glory. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, in those secular contexts, it means to achieve the greatest achievement available within that field. It means that you've arrived at the apex. I could hear a father telling his son, if he's playing baseball, go for the glory, son. Do everything you can so you can be the best one on the field. Go for the glory. And in the business sense, you've got men who are striving, that are competing, that whether you're a business owner or just one among many in a corporation that's trying to climb that ladder, amen, there is the idea that there is some apex somewhere, amen, there's a goal for all of us and we're all trying to achieve it. We're trying to outperform the next business down the street or the next business across the world, amen, that's focused on the same subject matter that we are focused on. Amen. But I want to take and apply this to the scriptures. I want to take and apply this idea, amen, that God has something greater, amen, than you may imagine in your own mind and in your own heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Scripture, the term glory is roughly translated in the Old Testament and New Testament to this, describing material wealth. Material wealth of an individual, how much stock they have in the Old Testament, how much cattle, how much land, what facilities they have to tend to those things, and that would describe the glory. An example is Genesis chapter 31, verse 1. It says, "He heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's." Talking about Laban's possessions. "And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory." And so we see in this simple example, this simple illustration in Scripture, that Jacob had taken from Laban what was his. And not just his possessions, but the aura, if you will, that surrounded who Laban was. He had taken not only his possessions and his wealth, Brother Jaheim, but he had also taken from him his glory. Glory is something that is derived from the amount of wealth, the amount of material things in this context that a man may acclaim and the man may, amen, achieve. And so what happened in the story, and I'm not going to get into the details, but Jacob worked and worked and worked for him. And he had all the knowledge, he had all the skill, he had all the insight that was necessary to pivot that glory from Laban to Jacob. And so we see that he did in Genesis 31 and 1. Amen. You guys with me right now? All right. But applying this to God, I hope that you don't think that I'm preaching that we should build an earthly kingdom and go and steal the wealth and the riches from our neighbor down the street and hotwire their car, their Mercedes, their... That's not what I'm saying at all. Don't go for that glory, please. Stay in your house. Stay in the house of God. Let's continue to abide by the principles of his word. No. I'm not suggesting that we should even become the wealthiest or the richest of this world. Although I'm not against that, I'm not preaching against that. I do agree with Jesus. He said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so, and the reason for that, he didn't say it was impossible because he said with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. So God can do them. And I'm getting a little too sidetracked here. But what I'm trying to get you to kind of focus your mind on just for a few moments this morning is there is something beyond the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. I couldn't have picked any better songs to sing this morning to set this up. If I had to mail order the song set this morning, Brother Nelson, I couldn't have placed a better order, so thank you. I love feeling God's presence. I love being in the goodness of God and knowing that He's got my back. He's there. And that is just as true as anything else I'm getting ready to preach this morning, child of God. He's there for you. He's here for you. It's not something off in a future or in some distant prospect, but He's here right now. Hallelujah. Amen. But what the denominational world would be satisfied, the denominational church world would be satisfied with is singing and appreciating the goodness and the mercy and the graces of God. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. Amen. But I want to tell somebody there is something beyond just the mercy of God. You need His mercy. I need His mercy. Amen. There's something beyond His grace that gives us strength to live from day to day. Amen. You need His grace and I need His grace. Hallelujah. But there's something more. Amen. There's something greater. Amen. It's the glory of God. Amen. That He revealed to the tabernacle. Amen. Through the tabernacle in a wilderness. Hallelujah. Amen. As I described, Laban's possessions was his glory that he claimed, and Jacob somehow in his conniving ways stole and labeled for himself, which actually was prophesied, by the way, that Isaiah 42 tells us a particular possession that the Lord has that could never be stolen. This is a just as much a possession of God, amen, as all of the cattle of Laban and Jacob. This is just as much a possession of God as your car that's sitting out in the church parking lot this morning. I'm here to tell you, amen, that God's glory, amen, is something that he literally possesses. Amen. He has the permission. He has the permission is not the right word, but he has the ability to move and locate and place it wherever he wishes. It's his. It's his possession. You can't steal it. You can't say the right formula and it becomes yours. God's glory comes at God's will. God's glory is given to us because He wants to give it to us. He does not want us, amen, to just go along in our quote-unquote wilderness, as I was describing a moment ago, amen, just lost and befuddled and completely confused. Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. He's got a destination in mind for you, child of God. He's not going to leave you lost and hopeless and wondering. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants you to see His glory. Hallelujah. Isaiah 42 and 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Have you seen how many times and how the Lord responds to those who worship other images? It's one of the Ten Commandments. I shall have no other God before me. It made it into the top 10. When Israel would go away from God and stop serving God. When Solomon married all his 700 wives and 300 concubines and went after, the Bible says, their gods, amen, the Lord judged him. He was the richest and the wisest, amen, but even his glory could not compare with what God was doing for him. I'm here to tell you, child of God, it doesn't matter what you've achieved here on earth. Amen. Your glory, amen, the things you've got in possession, amen, are nothing compared to what God has available. My glory, I will not give to another. I'm going to retain this possession. I'm going to keep this. This is mine. Hallelujah. I'm not going to share it with anybody, Brother Jerome. This is my possession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think you may think I'm wrong. Maybe I'm taking this too far here. Amen. But I think that the Lord is equating the glory, amen, or at least some of it, with even his name. Put that verse back on the wall. Isaiah 42 and 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And then there's a colon there, which says, I'm going to explain what I just said. My glory. All that I can do. Oh, hallelujah. Everything that my name, amen, can accomplish. All of the power in heaven and in earth. My glory. I'm not going to share with anybody. Amen. You can claim the name. You can claim that title. Amen. But if he does not authorize you, amen, to use his glory, friend, you don't have the authority to use it. Hallelujah. There are a lot of churches, amen, in this world today, amen, that are trying to lay claim to the name Christianity. Amen. They're trying to lay, amen, I may make some enemies right now, but I'm going to go ahead and preach what I'm feeling right now. Amen. Because I've got to get something through to somebody in this house right now. Amen. The Christian name, the name of Christ, Jesus, has been slandered and smeared. Hallelujah. They claim to be a Christian, yet you go into the house of God that they claim to be the house of God, and there's no power anywhere. There's no change. There's no, amen, there's no anointing. Hallelujah. Is anybody going to help me this morning? I mean, I'll do it by myself, but it'd be a lot better if I could get some help. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 42 said, my glory, I'm not going to share with anybody. I'm going to delegate, and I'm going to give, and I'll place it in certain locations, but I'm not going to lose a hold of my glory. It's mine. It's mine. Hallelujah. Let's go a little bit further here. Amen. Throughout the pages of God's word, with discretion, we see God placing his glory in specific areas, wherever he pleased. At times, he would pick a physical location and make it resident there for a period of time. You may be thinking, as I am, about the tabernacle. But before the tabernacle appeared in the wilderness, it was constructed by the nation of Israel and those who the Lord had chosen. The glory of God came in another form. Exodus chapter 6 verse 10 tells us, and it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Reading just a little bit further in verse 16 of chapter 24 of Exodus, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. With the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire upon the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. In our text, we read, amen, that Moses had prayed this prayer, Lord, show me your glory. And all the while, in another passage of Scripture, where Moses was sitting was in the glory of God. He was on Mount Sinai. when that cloud was sitting there. As the children of Israel was looking onto that mount, they saw the glory. Let me tell you something. Amen. The reason I bring this example, this is the first illustration in the Bible where God's glory comes down in a physical manifestation. Amen. On top of Mount Sinai. And the reason that God did this was to illustrate to us that there are pinnacles. There are places in our life that God would call us up to. Hallelujah. Bible says that Moses went into the midst of the cloud, the glory of God. Moses, climbing up that mountain, and then goes into his mountaintop experience. We all talk about a mountaintop experience. Moses literally had a mountaintop experience. Amen. Fire from heaven falling down. Very, very physical representations of God's glory being manifest in that place. Amen. And in that cloud where Moses was, amen, God began to commune with him. Began to talk to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells us in this cloud, in this conversation, while Moses was talking with God, that this is where the Lord gave him a plan, a new pattern. For Moses was literally exemplifying this pattern. Amen. I hope I'm not boring you this morning. I want to get somewhere, but I want to lay this foundation first. Exodus chapter 29, verse 42 says, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee." This is God talking to Moses on Mount Sinai. "And there I will meet with the children of Israel." You don't have to climb this mountain. He made access to the glory just a little bit easier. I mean, now they could have this tent. And the glory would come with them wherever they went. It wasn't just a singular location, but it was a place that would follow them. We were singing it. Your goodness. Well, I forgot the rest of the words. Somebody help me. Running after. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Brother Caleb was singing us a special song yesterday, too. Maybe we'll have you finish singing that. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. I love you, too. But the tabernacle began to follow. Began to go with them wherever they went. And I know many of you know the story. Perhaps I'm spending too much time here, but I want you to understand that it was while Moses was in Mount Sinai, that in that glory, in that meeting with the Lord, that he received these plans to create a place where his glory would continually dwell. And so we read that at the construction of this tabernacle, at the end of the construction of this tabernacle, when Moses had carried out the commandments of God, that the glory descended on that location as well. Exodus 40, verse 34 tells us this: "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." That's Exodus 40, verse 34. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And notice what happened in verse 35. Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation. Not only did God make the glory more accessible, but he made the glory more powerful. He did. Moses dwelt in the midst of the cloud on Mount Sinai. Moses spent 40 days up there, Brother Larson, communing and talking. Amen. But as at the end of his obedience and execution of the commandments of God in completing the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle, and Moses could not enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. That's not the end of this story. Amen. Perhaps you know where I'm going. But Solomon also constructed a building. Amen. It was the graduation of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was mere, amen, animal skins and goat and just a tent and blowing in the winds of the wilderness. But there was another iteration on top of that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, we read the conclusion of that construction. and the prayer that was prayed by the king. Amen. Verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Read chapter 6 and you can see, amen, the sheer number of sacrifices and expense, amen, that was given into this process of sacrifice and offerings. Amen. The Bible says that all of that, literally hundreds of thousands of animals, the Bible says the fire came down from heaven and consumed it all. And the glory of the Lord filled that house. And notice what happened next. Verse 2 says that the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. I just want you to see as well in this passage that the glory appears to me to be getting even more powerful. That on Sinai, it was just a cloud up in the heavens, communing only for one, Moses. And now, as Moses executed the commandments of God, he created a tabernacle, and the glory of God was in there in such a way that Moses could not enter. Amen. But obviously, later on, these people began to execute and obey God's commands with regard to the tabernacle. Amen. But I do want to point out that while they were obeying, they were in the wilderness. While they were going through this process, while they were creating their own sacrifices and offerings to God, they were in a wilderness. And from there, from their wilderness tabernacle, from this glory that was available to them in this limited capacity, yet greater than what was on Sinai, they moved into another temple, into a temple, and the glory of God moved in that place in such a way that none of the priests could enter. And furthermore, all of the congregation fell on their face and began to worship the Lord. I think you could see as well as I can that the Lord is showing us a pattern. As this proceeds, God's glory continues to outdo itself. We've heard Bishop preach. This is the, and he's proclaimed this year being the year of exceeding greatness. You can see in this story, in this illustration of this Old Testament illustration, that God, amen, continually exceeded what he gave to Moses. And then from Moses to the congregation, and then from that tabernacle into the temple. Amen. And now everybody's on their face. Nobody can stand for the glory of God that's in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it would be good for us to take note of this. Amen. I think it'd be good for us to remember this. When we come into the house of God, amen, as we come to his presence, we ought to just expect something greater than what we experienced before. I don't know how many times I've gone to conferences, youth conferences, preachers' conferences, and every single year they make this statement, it seems like it's better than it was last year. Amen. It ought not to be just conferences that have that testimony. Amen. When we come to the house of God, amen, on a Sunday morning, I hope tonight, amen, when Brother Farrell's preaching, the glory of God comes into this place in such a way, amen, that it puts all of us on our faces. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the house of God, amen, where God chose to repeatedly place his glory over and over and over, amen, throughout the Old Testament. No matter where that tabernacle wandered, no matter how far or how close in the wilderness, amen, the glory of God was always present in his house. Leviticus 9 and 6 says, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Numbers 14, 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Why? The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. This is why God had them construct the tabernacle. This is why. He didn't want to be restrained on top of Mount Sinai.
He didn't want to be kept on a one-to-one relationship with Moses. He wanted to reveal his glory to more than just one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In fact, the scripture tells us this in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21, in this obscure passage of scripture. Amen. We sometimes, when we get to the book of Numbers, we just roll right over this one because, amen, all it's doing is just a consensus report of all the people of the nation of Israel. Amen. But notice this verse says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I'm not satisfied on Mount Sinai. I'm not satisfied in this tent. I'm not satisfied even in the temple. I want my glory, amen, to continually exceed itself, so much so that every soul on this earth, are you hearing me this morning? Every person may be filled with my glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to skip to the end, amen, so I don't, amen, waste everybody's time here this morning, amen. But the Apostle Paul wrote to us, telling us, hey, don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? Don't you know that your bodies are a temple? Hallelujah. Amen, friend. You may be in a wilderness. Amen, but throw up the tent flaps. Amen, and open yourself to God so he can fill himself, fill you with his glory. Hallelujah. Amen, I know. Amen, it may be difficult. Amen, I know. Amen, you may seem distant. Amen, but there's an experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's not only available to you, but it's available to every person that's hearing my voice this morning. I want you to know, amen, it's God's great desire, amen, that God's glory would fill your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm not as good as Moses. I'm not as good, amen, as Solomon. I'm not as good as the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus took care of all that. Jesus took care of all that. The Bible tells us, teaches us, amen, that Jesus was a tabernacle. Jesus, amen, let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to come back to John 17, sister, in just a minute. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says this, who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if administration of death, talking about the letter, talking about the Old Testament, that tabernacle, that temple glory, if the administration of death written, graven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. That Old Testament was glorious. That Old Testament was mighty. Amen. Through the shedding of the blood of kids and goats and children. And not human. When I said that, I hope that you didn't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying children. Amen. But kids being goats. Amen. Goats. Amen. And bulls and cattle. Amen. As those offerings were being given, that was glorious. Hallelujah. It served its purpose. It met the problem. Amen. But God said, not enough. I've got more to give. I've got a greater glory. Amen. To show. I've got more. I've got more. I've got. Hallelujah. Child of God, listen to me right now. Amen. There is more than what you've experienced. There is more. You may say, well, amen, the times that I've had with God, amen, are insurmountable. Amen. They're incomparable. There's nothing like it. And I thank God for every unique experience that you and I have had. But I'm here to tell you, amen, if you don't have the glory of God on the inside, there is more. Hallelujah. You don't have to come to church and wait for the music to get to the right tempo and, amen, have just the right harmonies and the right skill and the right talent to carry you into the glory of God. I thank God for all of that. But listen to what I'm saying right now. Amen. There's something greater. hallelujah, than any instrument, than any musician, than any singer can contrive. This is not something that we can connive and pull down from God. It's given to us from God. Hallelujah. He said this old glory was glorious. Paul said, but it was to be done away. Verse 8, he goes on to say, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit, this is verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 3, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Back then, it was pretty good. But the ministration of the Spirit, he said, the letter bringeth death, but the Spirit brings life. And if the process of death through the sacrifices of those animals brought glory, how much greater will the ministration of the Spirit? What we were feeling in this house just a few moments ago was God's Spirit coming in here. Amen. It was somebody who'd prayed and sought God for some direction for this morning and asking God, amen, what do your people need? Amen. What is necessary for your people today? Amen. I'm here to tell you, child of God, he's in this place to administer his Spirit. And oh, what glory! Hallelujah. I don't know about you, amen, but I don't want to be satisfied with an old dead version of glory, a glory that's been done away, a glory that's been forgotten, amen, but I want a glory, amen, I want to go, amen, to the apex. I want the very, 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 very best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if this ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason. This is verse number 10 of the same chapter, Sister Kathy. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. It exceeds itself. It gets better and better and better if you want it. If you want it. It's available if you want it. You got to get like Moses. Lord, I've never heard anything like this before. I've never had an experience like this before. I don't know anybody that has had this kind of experience. This is a little different. This is not what I've seen before. But if you will. If this is real, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I hope I'm getting somebody's attention. Hallelujah. Amen. If this is real, if this is legit, amen, if this is you, God, I want you to give me an experience. Hallelujah. I didn't climb this mountain for nothing. I didn't get here, amen, just to climb right back down empty-handed. I didn't come here, amen, just to go through the motions. I didn't come here to be seen by others or to be heard by others. I came for an experience. I'm going for your glory. I'm going to receive from you something that I have not received before. Let's give God some praise right now. Hallelujah. I beseech thee. I want it, God. I need it. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to go back down this mountain the same way that I came. Sister Tori, come. I don't want to go home. I'm in the same way that I came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's remain prayerful right now. Amen. I don't want to go home the same way that I came. Show me. I'm going. I'm not stopping until I receive, amen, the glory of God. Amen, friend, you're a temple. Amen, God wants to make you holy. He wants to clean you on the inside and on the outside. But before any of that begins, you need his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all stand and lift our hands to the Lord right now. Come on, let's love him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Come on, let's talk to him right now. Let's talk to him right now. Oh, show me, God. Hallelujah. Take it out of those dark and obscure places. Remove the mystery. Remove the question marks. Remove the confusion. Friend, I'll tell you the thing that'll do all of that is just a few moments in that glory. It's undeniable. I said it's undeniable. You can't question it. You can't confuse it. Woo. I feel his presence right now. Oh. Hallelujah. Are you hungry? Do you want it? Let's just wait on the Lord right now. Jesus. Oh. Show me. God. Hallelujah. If this is real. I've heard many make accusations that Pentecost, even just recently, there's a big conference just happened, and they did a podcast there and at the conference for the youth, and they took some clips from two well-known apostolic preachers and some others that were tied to it, and that's the problem with the current version of technology, where it's good you can, when you're sick at home and all this thing, and you could tune in to what's going on at home, but if that's available to you, it means it's available to everybody, and they could take it, and when they don't understand, if they've never been in that kind of experience, they've never been in the glory, and they could clip it and do all this stuff, and that's what they had done, and so they were addressing all that, and the accusation that came up was they're just manipulating their emotions. They're just skilled in having, you know, the music in the background and having the right words at the right time, the sequencing of everything, and that's all they're doing, that's all that is. But if you have ever been in a service where God's glory comes down, and it doesn't just remain on the outside, but if it goes on the inside of you, if you make yourself, it does require making yourself vulnerable, it does require opening yourself up to it, but if you do, and his glory comes in and fills your temple, you will know for yourself that this is much more than just emotional manipulation. Friend, we had the glory
before the skilled instruments were playing. There were men crying. In the Old Testament, when the first temple was raised and they were put in exile, then they came back and were permitted and authorized to reconstruct the second temple. First part of this, they finished the foundation, and it was an emotional moment because everybody that was happy with what they had accomplished, they started dancing. They started shouting. Literally, the Bible says that they broke out the timbrels and they started, "Woo! I feel the glory coming back. I feel His glory coming back." And the joy that flooded their hearts. Woo! I see God's glory. We're a little bit closer, Sister Tori, to what we had before the enemy came in and destroyed everything. I'm a little closer. I'm a little closer. Amen. But then there was another emotion going on that day. He had the joy and the happiness over here, but on this other side, the old timers were looking on. They were weeping. They say, "Guys, if you think this is something." Bible says they were weeping. If you think this is legit, you should have been with us in Solomon's day. You should have seen how majestic and how beautiful those stones were. Gold overlaying every square inch of the building on the inside. This ain't even close. We got a lot more to go. Ooh, I feel God's touch right now. I'm here to tell somebody, amen, that what you're feeling right here, it's good, but it ain't even close to what it's like when that gold gets on the inside. When He fills your heart. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love feeling God's presence on the outside. I love Brother Larson, and sometimes it makes me weep. Sometimes, Brother Nelson, it makes me happy. Makes me thankful. Who am I? What in the world? I don't deserve this. Yet His glory, I feel, on the outside. But there was a day, I'm getting ready to open these altars. But there was a day, I was very young. I went to a youth camp meeting. We're getting ready to go to a youth camp meeting for young people. And I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited for our young people that are getting to go. It was at a youth camp. I'd been seeking the Holy Ghost for about a year. I didn't really fully understand everything I was doing. But I knew what I felt was real. It was undeniable. And somehow I wanted what that preacher was talking about. I didn't know all the right words to say. I didn't know what to do even. But I knew that I wanted that, what I felt. And I'm here to tell you what you're feeling right now is the Holy Ghost. You could call it His glory. Amen. But there's no better form of the glory of God than His Spirit. That Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit. And His promise was that I will send my comforter. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We sang about it earlier. He will come. And when He comes, He brings strength and comfort. He brings the answers that you're looking for.
Bible says that he is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth will lead us and guide us into all truth. But you've got to have the Spirit. You've got to have the glory on the inside. You want what you read about in the Bible? You've got to get the Spirit of the Bible. It's real. It's true. You want to go, amen, to heaven and spend time with your loved ones and spend eternity, amen, in God's presence, then you've got to get the Spirit on the inside. Woo! Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He said, I'm looking. I want this whole earth to be filled with my glory. I'm looking. Is there anybody here this morning that says, God, you can fill my temple. God, you can fill me. God, I want my life and my workplace, every part of me, I want it to be filled with your glory. I don't want to try, amen, to go down from this mountain today, amen, without your glory. Show me. These altars are open. Amen. Show me your glory. Put it on the inside. Bring it to me. I beseech you. Come on, Moses. Hallelujah. I beseech you, I beseech you, I beseech you. I'm not satisfied. Young people, amen, young adults, amen, there is more to God than what you've experienced so far. Amen, look at the old timers. Amen, watch how Bishop, amen, interacts in the Spirit. Watch how Mama Regan, amen, interacts in the Spirit and say, God, I want it. Hallelujah. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want his glory.